Welcome to another episode of Kevo and Heidi's Disney Over Coffee.
I'm Kevo.
And I'm Heidi.
And let's talk about Disney.
Let's do it. And we're back.
Another one.
And what are we talking about today?
We're talking about Alien.
That's right. So, before we get into that, though, we'll do another round of which movie is it? Are you ready?
I already know what it is.
Do you? Which one is it?
It's a Disney movie.
Oh, okay. Oh, yes. Yes, it is a Disney movie. Let's see what we got here. Okay. Ready?
Mm-hmm. Shawshank Redemption.
No. Sometimes life is hard. For no reason at all.
Nope.
Why the clouds, sunshine? Mm-mm. Attitude reflect leadership, Captain.
Oh, yeah. Remember the Titans.
Yes. Very good. All right. So, Alien. And why is it a Disney movie?
Because it's 20th Century Fox. And Disney owns everything.
Mm-hmm. It is our firm belief, listeners, that Disney's probably in cahoots with who knows whom with world domination.
Uh-huh.
And it's working.
They're hell-bent. World domination.
Mm-hmm. All right, so Alien 1979, directed by Ridley Scott, written by Dan O'Bannon, and also Ridley Scott. Cast includes Sigourney Weaver, also known as the Queen of Sci-Fi.
Uh-huh.
Tom Skerritt, John Kurt, Harry Dean Stanton, and Balaji Badejo as the Xenomorph,
mm-hmm.
I believe is his name. And I think this was like his only movie. After that, I think he, like, completely disappeared.
No, he was the Predator.
Was he?
Mm-hmm. He was also the Predator.
Wait, like, I haven't heard anything from him since this, but... In space, no one can hear you scream. Did you know that that was the tagline?
Yep.
For the poster? Mm-hmm. It's still one of those favorite things I'd love to say, because it's pretty amazing. Because it's true!
Somebody can hear you scream.
No, there's something about, like, scientifically that if you tried, because you need gravity for sound.
Somebody would hear you scream.
You wouldn't be able to hear anything. because you're in space. Yes, it's one of those things. But that's why, you know, astronauts have helmets and stuff.
I mean, they were in a spaceship, so somebody could hear you scream. We heard people screaming.
Well, I mean, it was a movie, but we'd have to ask an actual astronaut. All right, I got some trivia. Would you like to hear it?
Let's hear it.
Okay, so to get Jonesy, the cat, to react fearfully to the descending alien, a German shepherd was placed in front of him.
pretty scary.
Mm-hmm. Ripley's casting came down to Sigourney and Meryl Streep.
Oh, man. I don't know if I would have liked it with Meryl Streep.
Well, we wouldn't have known that there was another version. I think Meryl Streep could have done a good job. Meryl Streep is so versatile, so I think that she would have done a great job. But it wouldn't have been the same. Copywriter Barbara Gipps came up with the famed tagline, "In space, no one can hear you scream." And the slime used on the alien was KY jelly.
Mm-hmm. That alien was a freak.
And it shows. It's pretty nasty looking. So much going on there. All right, Terry, ready?
Let's do it.
Okay. So, we start out in space, of course. Mm-hmm. Whole bunch of stars. And then we see a commercial towing space vehicle carrying a refinery with 20 million tons of mineral ore en route to Earth with a crew of 7. Inside, the onboard computer is activated and the lights start turning on And people in bio beds are starting to wake up.
Yep, starting to wake up.
From hypersleep. They congregate in the mess hall and they enjoy a meal.
Because they think they're going home. Mm-hmm. They think they're almost to Earth.
Captain Dallas is called away by Mother, the ship's computer. And Dallas enters the Mother console room and tries to assess the situation. And the rest of the crew is getting into the cockpit to determine their location. And they notice that Earth is not quite close by.
Mm-hmm. They're like, what is going on?
Mm-hmm. So Dallas briefs the crew and says that the ship is not even halfway home and they've altered its course altogether due to an unknown signal, which repeats every 12 seconds. Parker protests, saying that they're not a rescue team and that they should be compensated for extra work, which I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. Huh? If I'm not a rescue, you know, personnel, then yeah, I shouldn't be, you know, doing rescue things. But science officer Ash stipulates that per company contract, the crew is obligated to investigate any signal from an intelligent source. Non-compliance will result in loss of pay.
Like, all loss of pay. Which is not something. Not some. All.
Which is not fair. It's not right.
Damn the man.
Mm-hmm.
Damn the man.
The crew's getting together, doing what they gotta do. And then they listen to the signal itself. And it doesn't really sound like anything. Sounds like just noise.
Creepy noise.
Creepy noise. Yeah, creepy noise. Lambert kind of thinks, like, well, maybe it's like a voice or... You know, what's going on? And Lambert is able to find that it's coming from a planetoid with a 2-hour rotation and some gravity.
Mm-hmm. You know what would be funny? As if it was like, bam, bada, bam, bam.
Yes, it would be funny.
Bam, bada, bam, bam.
Because you're trying to think, like, well, what's that? Is it music?
No, it's from Star Wars.
Oh, see, I wouldn't have got that. So the Nostromo approaches the planet. And the ship separates from the refinery and sets course to the planet's surface. Landing is rough and it causes some damage. The planet is windy, visibility's low, but the sun, I guess, is about to come up, so Dallas and Kane decide to investigate on foot.
Well, Dallas, Kane, and then the navigator.
And Lambert. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they all go on foot to investigate. While at the same time... Officer Ripley has gone to the lower deck to inspect the repairs. Parker and Brett ask if they're gonna, you know, have a bonus for anything that they discover, and Ripley assures that they'll get their share.
They'll get their share.
I think she says, like, you'll get what's coming to you.
Yeah, you'll get what's coming to you. Which is death.
So Ash tells Ripley that Mother has not yet deciphered the signal, and she volunteers to give it a try. Ripley accesses the console and starts working on the signal.
I think she's a comms officer. I don't think they really express exactly her role. Because like everyone else is pretty clear, but hers. We know she's an officer.
And we know that she's very smart. So
I think she's a comms officer.
Yeah, so. And maybe she could be essentially like a jack of all trades, too. Like, I don't think that she's shy about anything else. You know, like, she's willing to do things herself if need to. So outside, the team sees a spacecraft of unknown origin, and it kind of looks like a horseshoe.
It does. It does. It's like a horseshoe.
And they can kind of send pictures back to the ship and have them see it. And despite Lambert's hesitation, they approach it anyway, and they lose complete contact with the Nostromo at that point going into the ship. So inside, they find hallways... with walls that look like bones. Like, the texture kind of look very bony.
Mm-hmm. To me. So bony.
And at the end is an elevated platform, and it carries the remains of an enormous alien creature in a large chair, now fossilized. Upon looking at it, there's evidence of some unknown trauma to the chest.
Mm-hmm.
Its ribs are bent outward as if exploded from the inside. It's very creepy. So Lambert wants to leave, which is me. But then again, I probably wouldn't be in space to begin with.
Yeah.
So she wants to leave, and Kane then draws attention to a large hole in the floor. While this is going on, analysis of the transmission suggests that it's not an SOS at all, but a warning.
A warning!
Mm-hmm. Ripley wants to go after the search party, but Ash talks her out of it, reasoning that by the time she gets there, the search team will probably know what the signal means. Lies.
Yeah.
Lies.
Lies. Lies. Mm-hmm. Heaped upon lies. Deception.
So, Kane is lowered into the hole and finds an enormous tube-like chamber down there, divided into sections and basins. He gets close to one of them, discovering thousands of leathery objects that resemble large eggs. Which is what I would have thought. I would have thought, let's get out of here. He trips and he falls into the pit, but is uninjured. He continues to investigate and he touches one of them and discovers movement inside. And then out of nowhere, a strange spider-like organism leaps out and it attaches itself to Kane's helmet, melting his faceplate.
I know, it gets in there.
It gets in there. And it doesn't even take long. I feel like by the time they get it, you know, inside the ship, it's like completely melted. But Dallas and Lambert carry Kane back to the Nostromo and they enter the airlock and ask Ripley to let them in. Ripley says no, citing quarantine protocol for the safety of the crew.
For safety of everybody else. But nobody wants to... Well, not everybody. The engineers agree with her. But everyone else...
Being buckheads. Yeah. So, but I mean, she says, like, he needs to be decontaminated or at least be out there for 24 hours before being brought on here to see what's going on there. Which makes sense. And Dallas, of course, says, no, I'm pulling rank and you're going to let us in here. And Ash disregards Ripley's decision altogether and lets them in. He opens the door. She doesn't open the door. He opens the door. And in the infirmary, Dallas and Ash cut Kane's helmet off. And then they find that spider-like thing attached to Kane's face.
It's huge.
It's gigantic and it looks so scary. But it also has like a long tail that's around his throat. Like around his neck. Ripley joins them and is slapped by Lambert. She's so angry. Calls her all sorts of names and gives her a big old slap. What's crazy, though, is that I feel like Ripley takes it like a boss.
Yeah. I would have punched her. I would have like, bam! You're gonna hit me, I'm gonna hit you back. I'm gonna throw you back outside.
Well, especially knowing what we know now. Knowing what we know now. They shouldn't have let him on the ship. They should have left him out there. Mm-hmm. Ugh, it's a tough one. Hindsight's 20/20. But anyway, so they're trying to figure out how to take that creature off of Kane's face with some forceps. But it just tightens its grip. And it looks like it's going to pretty much like snap his neck. If they continue to try. Which, I don't know if I would have stopped. But if they had killed Kane, would it have just attached to someone else?
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But no, they're one and done, though. So it was already, you know, essentially laying
the egg.
The egg.
And then dying.
Yeah, and then it dies, so.
Okay, well, see, there you go. Maybe they should have just let that happen. And then freeze it or something. I don't know. Or just freeze all of him altogether. Put him in a freeze chamber.
Just throw him outside.
Throw him outside. There you go. Throw him outside. So, Ash tries to cut off one of its legs. And acid comes out.
It spurts blood of acid.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts burning through the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to follow it. So that way they can see where it's at and try to stop it, but it ends up slowing down.
Mm-hmm. Not to mention, I think the fact that it's even on the ship and it can do something like that, that's enough for you to be like, we don't know what we're dealing with here. This thing is bleeding acid. So Ripley confronts Ash about his decision, and Ash tries to, I don't know, defend himself by saying that, like, oh, I did it out of concern. for Kane's life. No, it was, you didn't. It was a risk I was willing to take. And, you know, it's like, do we believe him?
Nope, I don't believe him.
Nope, I sure don't.
And pretty much is like, yeah, she's like, nope, I was the boss. You were wrong. Mm-hmm.
And Ripley says that by allowing this breach of protocol, like, he's put all of their lives on at risk, which I agree, because we don't know what that thing is. And I don't think that they have any record of any sort of creature like that before. So it's not like they can read something that says, oh, just in case you encounter this creature, this is what you do. So after some time, the creature completely detaches off of Kane's face. And it's just lying there and seemingly dead. And it kind of comes off the ceiling or something. And it, like, scares the crap out of Ripley. But anyway, Ripley wants to get rid of it. But Ash, of course, disagrees. He wants to study it. And Dallas just kind of goes with that. You know, even though he's the captain, he says that due to the fact that Ash is the science officer, that it's up to him to do whatever he wants with science.
Science.
But, I mean, them being crew members in a spaceship, doesn't that make them all part of science?
we're all science.
We're all science. Like, you know what it takes to get up into space? Science. Like, it just doesn't make any sense to me. But anyway, so yeah, Dallas mentions that they have to just kind of deal with what he's going to do with it. And Ripley says that, you know, I don't trust Ash. Like, I don't trust him. Mm-hmm. I don't know him.
He just has that kind of face.
Yes. And Dallas prefers to leave as soon as possible. And he decides that the Nostromo should go back to Earth.
Well, not go back to Earth, but just go back up to the main.
Right. To then go back to Earth. Mm-hmm. So Kane wakes up, still groggy, but seemingly unharmed, right?
Seemingly.
Mm-hmm. He remembers very little of what happened, apart from a nightmare. But he's starved and wants to eat. So the crew gets together and they decide to have one last meal before they re-enter hypersleep. Because it says what, they said what, 10 months?
10 months.
Until they can get back to Earth. So they're eating, joking around, having a good time. And all of a sudden, Kane is starting to choke. Mm-hmm. And he's convulsing. And the team is trying to help him. But something happens.
A friend joins the party.
Mm-hmm. Now, what did you say about the filming of this scene?
The director didn't tell the other actors about the scene, so all of their reactions are actually pretty genuine.
Because they don't know what's going on. And it looks like they're trying to treat him for some type of seizure, because they're trying to get him to bite on something. But all of a sudden, this blood stain appears on his stomach. And what comes out of his stomach?
Mm-hmm. A pet.
Not a pet. Not at all.
The alien, he goes, bah!
Well, I mean, did they call it a chest burster? Is that what they called it? Is that what they deemed it? Or
it's not what they deemed it.
So an alien comes out of his chest. And it's crazy looking. Mm-hmm. Doesn't look like it has any eyes. Just a mouth.
A mouth full of teeth.
But it looks like it looks like some sort of just slick reptilian creature. Because it doesn't have any fur. It's just skin.
I know. What would it be? Would it be skin? And teeth.
Skin, yeah, that's what it
is. It's not scales.
It's not scales, no. It's like skin. Just a layer of skin and teeth.
Teeth.
And of course, everybody's freaking out at this point. They don't know what to do with it. Parker tries to move in with a knife to try to kill it, but he's stopped by Ash.
Ooh, that Ash.
Uh-huh. Ash stops him, and the creature screeches. And then he disappears. He just takes off. Just who knows where. So now, obviously, when we see this for the first time, I don't know how old you were. I want to say I was like 20 when I first saw this, because my mom didn't let me watch something like this. She was too afraid. But even when I first saw this, I think I was so grossed out and shocked and scared all at the same time. And I still feel this way, people. I love scary movies. I love scary movies. But I still think that this movie is one of the scariest things that I've ever seen and probably will ever see. It holds up. It's a movie from the 70s and it still holds up. It's scary. It's very scary. Whew. So, they have a short funeral for Kane. They wrap up his body, send it out into space. It's pretty sad. I don't think anybody says any actual words, though. Like, I think Dallas says, like, do we want to say anything?
No.
It's like, no, people don't really want to talk right now. But, yeah, so they send his body away, and then they split up into two teams to capture the small creature.
Uh-huh. Small creature.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, Parker, Brett, and Ripley are together, and they, kind of use this, like, sensor to sense, like, movement to see where it is, and they think they found it in a cupboard, or a locker, I think. Yeah, a locker. And, but it's not the creature.
Mm-hmm. It's that darn kitty cat.
Mm-hmm. Very cute. But yeah, it was Jonesy in the locker. And so they realize that they're probably going to catch the cat on the tracker again. So Parker sends Brett off to catch Jonesy. Now, Brett, while he's searching for Jonesy, he finds this like shed of skin on the floor.
Mm-hmm. Red flag should be popping up.
Mm-hmm. And so as Brett is trying to get Jonesy, because he finds him, but then all of a sudden the cat hisses. And there's a huge shape that comes out, comes down from the ceiling. And it's the creature, only now it's 6 feet tall.
Grew really fast. Mm-hmm. Man, these kids, they grow so fast.
And it kills Brett. Bye, Brett.
Bye, Brett.
So the alien is using the air shafts to move around. So if they could drive it out from the ducts into an airlock, they might be able to blow it out into space. So Dallas enters into the mother console saying, what are my chances?
Next to nothing.
Well, no, I think the mother says, like, cannot compute.
Yeah.
Cannot compute.
Cannot compute.
You will die. Cannot compute.
Die.
So the main duct is open, and Dallas enters it with a flamethrower to try to get it out and burn it out. And Lambert starts picking up the signal from the alien again, but then all of a sudden she notices that it's coming right towards him.
Mm-hmm. What's he do? He panics.
And that scene is still so scary to me. Like, we were just watching it, and I'm pretty sure, like, I put my hand over my mouth because I was so freaked out, and I know it's coming. It's still so scary. So, yeah, so, bye, Dallas. He's dead.
Or but is he?
But is he? Or is he? So Lambert looks like she's going to lose it. She's losing it. Ripley suggests that they should continue Dallas's plan, and Lambert says, nope, sure won't. Let's get out of here. Let's abandon ship. But the shuttle won't carry all of them.
Yeah.
How many would the shuttle carry? Do they actually say?
I don't think they were being really specific, but like, the shuttle is different than the actual, like, the ship that they took down to, the planet is different. Like, the shuttle's a lot smaller.
Mm-hmm.
So it could fit all of them, but as far as, like, oxygen and then, hypersleep beds, it was only, like, one or two, maybe.
Yeah, because we only saw the one, but that could have just been just to save room on the camera, on the screen. Not because it wasn't there necessarily, but so Ripley's had enough and she decides to ex his mother herself.
What would you like to do?
Just what you've been doing, Ash. Nothing. I've got access to Mother now, and I'll get my own answers, thank you.
She learns about something called Special Order 937, and she kind of tries this, like, override to figure out what it means, because Mother doesn't want to say. And what it does mean is that the Nostromo rerouted to investigate life form, gather specimen, and priority one was to ensure the return of the organism.
Mm-hmm. All other priorities nullified.
Mm-hmm. And the crew was expendable. Like, I'm pretty sure she says it. And, of course, Ash is just right there. Mm-hmm. He just shows up like some creep when she's done looking at the information. And Ash tries to kill Ripley. Beats her up. Tries to suffocate her. And then all of a sudden, we discover, after Parker and Lambert try to help Ripley, that Ash is not a human.
Mm-hmm. He's more human than human.
No, he's an android. Now, are all androids bad?
In the alien universe, yes.
But what about Winona?
Okay, all the way up until movie 4.
Okay.
But even then.
Well, I thought she was okay. Let's say the majority. The majority of androids are bad in this universe. They can't be trusted. They hate humans for whatever reason.
Okay, well, maybe Bishop. The first Bishop. He was good. He was okay.
He was okay. Though he was still shady. He was sneaky. He was still sneaky and shady. But we'll get more into maybe why they are the way they are. Especially once we get to Prometheus. Because I have a theory about why they become bad. And it probably still goes back to it's humans' fault because we made them. So it's our fault. All right. So they wake up Ash to basically ask, like, how can we kill this thing? Like, we took your head off your body, but what is it? Give us the answers. And he just says, you can't. It's a perfect organism.
How do we kill it, Ash? There's got to be a way of killing it. How do we do it?
Perfect organism. Its structural perfection is matched only by its hostility.
You admire it?
I admire its purity. Survival.
It's the perfect organism.
And that regardless of what you might think, like, you're not going to survive. But he says something like, you have my sympathies or something like that.
You have my sympathies.
You have my sympathies.
And he does like this little smirk.
The smirk, yeah.
And then Ripley's like, I'm done. Bam! Mm-hmm. Unplugs him.
Mm-hmm. So the last three survivors, Lambert, Parker, and Ripley, decide to go off of Lambert's earlier suggestion and decide to kind of self-destruct the Nostromo and escape in the shuttle, leaving the alien to die. Well, they hope. So Ripley's preparing the shuttle for launch. Parker and Lambert are going to gather coolant for the shuttle's life support system. Then Ripley hears that darn cat.
I would have left that cat.
Jonesy.
Well, one, we would have all stuck together. Okay, we weren't going to split up.
Always splitting up.
It's what's like up with this?
Every scary movie I've ever seen, people splitting up. Even though they keep trying, even in the movies that are self-aware, like Scream, and say, no, we shouldn't split up.
They always split up.
They always still split up. It's like, what?
Like, on purpose, not like because of circumstances you guys end up split up. No, you purposefully Split up. No!
Mm-hmm. Yep, so she tries to find the cat, and she does find him, but then he startles her, and she kind of jumps, you know? And then she puts him into one of those traveling carriers. Parker and Lambert are almost done getting all of their things together when they're attacked by the alien. And Parker at one point wants to set it ablaze, but he's yelling at Lambert to get out of the way.
That would have burned her.
It doesn't work, though. Like, he ends up not being able to, and they both end up dying. And Ripley finds their bodies completely dead, with no sign of the alien. So Ripley continues. She's getting a ladder to the lower deck. And then she finds Dallas and Brett in a scene that you would only find on the director's cut. We checked. Yep. and I mean, I guess I can see why they cut it out of the other cut, but...
What? No, it's super important.
But it doesn't move the story forward. It's
yes,
just,
it does.
It's just there. The story
forward. Like, what? Oh my God, this is crazy. I love it.
But I mean, I get it from a director standpoint. You can't put everything that you want to. That's why a lot of good scenes end up on the cutting floor. It just happens. So, she finds them, and Dallas is still alive. But he doesn't look well.
Yeah, he doesn't look good at all. I would say if his health meter is at about 20%.
And what does he ask of her?
He says, free me.
No.
Free.
No, that's Independence Day. No, he says, kill me. Please, kill me.
I don't
me.
Know. I think he said, help me. Like, free me.
No, I'm pretty sure he says, kill me.
And she was like, no, I'm captain now.
So she burns them with the flamethrower, and then she rushes out. Ripley then sees the alien.
Uh-huh. It's looking for her.
Mm-hmm.
It wants to borrow a cup of sugar.
So she runs to the shuttle. The ship eventually self-destructs as she's flying off. And Ripley's preparing one of the bio beds. And she notices that the alien snuck inside. Mm-hmm. And you could tell right away that it was there because of the shape of its big old head.
Yeah, big old head.
Could you imagine trying to put, like, a turtleneck if you were an alien?
Alien don't need no clothes.
Yeah, but well, let's say he wanted a turtleneck. Could he fit into one?
No, he doesn't. He wants to be lubricated with KY jelly.
But I can just imagine. Now I'm just thinking about this alien trying to get into a turtleneck. Man. So she notices the alien. And then she kind of sneaks away into, like, the closet, it looks like.
The closet.
The shuttle closet. Because it has a door. And she notices that there's a spacesuit in there. So she gets an idea, and she starts putting in the spacesuit on. And she opens the airlock, and she gets a harpoon gun together.
Yep.
So... At some point, she starts, right?
She yeah. what?
She gets the alien to come out of its little hidey hole.
Yeah, she does something which, like...
Like the temperature?
Like, yeah, something like that, which made it move. Which I mean, it was all slow in the first place, so it's like, was it sleeping? Was it already kind of hurt? I don't know.
Well, I was thinking, like, do you think that maybe one of the flamethrowers got to it and it was a little burned?
Yeah, maybe. Because, yeah, it was kind of just...
It was moving slower than usual. So, yes. Yeah, so, anyway, Ripley opens up the door and everything starts flying out. And it looks like almost the alien's going to come out, but it kind of grabs the ends of the door. The door frame.
Mm-hmm. So she shoots it in the chest.
And it comes out, but then the harpoon gun, like, gets stuck in the door, and it tries to make its way back in.
Mm-hmm.
So then she blows the engines on the alien.
Yeah, she punch it. She punches. She turns the on button on.
And that's it for the alien.
Yeah, that's it for the alien.
Bye, alien.
She does her last transmission. Mm-hmm. This is Ripley, last survivor of the Nostromo, signing off.
And then she gets into hypersleep. Mm-hmm. And that's it.
Scene.
That's the end of the movie. Still one of the scariest movies I've ever seen. And I tell you, I love scary movies. I really do. I love a good scary movie. The only thing I'll probably say that I don't watch is anything involving exorcisms. That's the only thing I can't do. Because I believe in exorcism, so that stuff scares me to, like, nothing else. how should we rate this?
It's a good question. Spaceships.
Spaceships? Nostromos?
Yeah, Nostromos.
Okay.
5 out of 5. It's one of my all-time favorite movies.
I'll give it a 4.5. Because people were making dumb decisions. And they're supposed to be super smart.
They're supposed to be super.
At least that's what I thought. I thought you were supposed to be super smart to get in space. Apparently not. But then again, you could be book smart and not have any sense. Still a great movie, though.
So what movie are we watching next?
Well, first we got to do who was the best and who was the worst.
Oh, who was the best? Who was the worst? Who was the best? Ripley! She's so cool.
Ripley. Sexy, smart,
bad, MF-er.
B-A. She didn't follow anybody's rules. She made her own rules.
No, she did follow the rules. Well, that's why this movie started.
But apparently that's going against the rules, though. Following the rules is going against the rules. But yeah, I feel like she inspired the next... you know, century, really, the next few decades of movies that are led by these strong women who don't have to be what people make of them. She had her own look. She didn't need any makeup. She didn't need any lipstick, any lip gloss, which is fine. I mean, makeup is great. But I love the fact that she felt like she didn't need it. She didn't need makeup. She had a typical, I think, attitude for... people trying to tell her what to do, even though she knew she was right. And she was. She was right. So, it's definitely one of those things that I think this really kind of pushed Sigourney Weaver into the spotlight. And it gave us the Sigourney that we have today. And it launched a whole franchise that, as far as I know, hasn't died. Mm-hmm. Ooh, and it has one of the scariest monsters I have ever seen. That thing is scary. So scary. And it doesn't even have, like, eyes. It's just, like, a mouth. It's mostly a mouth. And it's got a mouth inside a mouth. It's so scary. All right, who is the worst?
The Xenomorph.
I mean, I don't really blame the Xenomorph. He's doing what... or it's doing what it's born to do.
Kill.
Ash. Ash was the worst.
He was just following orders.
I don't care. But then again,
he's a machine.
Does he have a soul?
Do
androids have souls?
Maybe during that upgrade, they didn't have souls.
Yeah. Maybe in the next one, they get souls. They get souls 2.0.
Souls.
What are we doing next? We are doing Alice in Wonderland.
Well, which one?
The first one, the cartoon, the classic.
Classic.
Though I do hold a special place in my heart for the live action version. I think it has a lot of great things to it. It made itself, you know, a spot in my heart. Especially the beautiful, beautiful dog. But yes, Alice in Wonderland is what we're doing next. So check us out next time, listeners. We out.
We out.